Hello everybody, I'm George Myland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is about the national debt of the United Kingdom. Thinking back to the Republic of Ireland, when I was little, our national debt was really, really high. And then we would pay it down a bit. 2008, credit crunch, it went up. We're now a land. Now we've somewhat got it down. So, you know, having a huge national debt is a bad thing, it should go without saying, because therefore you have to pay back so much as to service the interest. Otherwise, the interest goes up as well as the principal and so on. And you're spending so much money on that, and there's less money for everything governments want to spend on, like transport infrastructure, healthcare, education, policing, the armed forces, pensions, and so forth. And therefore, you know, you're having to pay for your parents and grandparents and generations yet unborn, having to pay for the profligacy of people there. You can't borrow your way out of debt. Now, almost every country is in debt. The only country I can think of ever successfully paid off its national debt was Romania right before the revolution. That caused such severe cutbacks, such terrible suffering, that it provoked the Romanian revolution. So the United Kingdom is not the highest national debt per capita, not by a long shot. And the country with the highest national debt in terms of amount is the United States, even though, you know, per capita, it may not be as high. And ironically, it's some of the least economic developed countries have relatively low national debt because people won't lend to them in the first instance. And then there's some very prosperous countries like Qatar and Norway have like almost no national debt. They've got sovereign wealth funds. Russia doesn't have a very big national debt because they really concentrate on paying it off. So they wouldn't be vulnerable if they cause a situation like the Ukraine war and having their national wealth fund and things like that. But who would lend to them now? And that's problematic. So in wars or crises, people borrow like billio. And some people said after the credit crunch, the government, the United Kingdom, ought to have taken advantage of the relatively low cost of borrowing and borrowed more then. We need a stimulus package. Or John Maynard Keynes, so he was that sort of left-wing economist, member of the Liberal Party, said that you need to spend more to get out of economic depression. But obviously, in terms of prosperity, you need to pay that down. You can't like borrow forever. So the national debt in the Second World War reached something like 360% of GDP. And then the United Kingdom began paying it off down to sort of 98% by 1960. And so then in 1990, it was down to only 28%. And so the very responsible stewardship of Margaret Thatcher's Conservative administration made sure it was very low. And so there was so that the interest payments and that were very low to keep it down. But then it was pretty low under Tony Blair. It's risen and risen since 2008, going from 28% to over 100% today. So that in 35 years, so that is really bad news. So obviously there've been various economic difficulties, the credit crunch 2008, and since then we've never really had good times. The UK has grown at 1%, 2% a year, but about that's about it. I know for highly advanced economies, there's only so much you can grow. You never have double-digit growth. I know 2020 shrank by about 10%, 2021 came back by about 10%. But, you know, barring these black swan events, advanced economies don't grow very much, like very seldom more than 3% per annum. It's the LEDCs where there's a lot of room for growth. But even China and India, they're not posting the double-digit growths that they were growth per annum that they were in the noughties. So, yeah, COVID, the pandemic, the lockdown and so on. So less economic activity, drop in tax revenues. Therefore, governments were obliged to borrow more. Okay, so there's always this public sector borrowing requirement because you need to spend more than you're taking in revenue. So that is the deficit. And so the national debt was meant to be sort of a temporary thing for 18th century wars, which has become permanent. So the rising interests, it raises the costs. There are also structural fiscal pressures like pensions and an aging population, people retiring at 67 and then living longer, living up to sort of age 80 on mean average. And then people staying in education longer. When state pensions were invented for the First World War, most people entered full-time work at the age of 12. Now most people enter full-time work at the age of 21. And of course, they've got millions of NEETs. Not an employment, education, or training. People of working age who are just unemployed or claiming to be disabled, you know, anxiety, depression, physical disability. But there are people with depression who work, people with anxiety who work. There are people who are blind who work, who are deaf who work, who've only got one arm who work, or wheelchair bound who work. All sorts of people who work. I know Down syndrome people who work full time. So usually it's a cop out, and we're just being pathetic, being a soft touch Okay, so the government can print money, right? But obviously that reduces the value of the money. I mean, this is a sort of a child's error. Well, why don't we print so much money, give everyone £1 trillion and we're really rich? No, we wouldn't, because the purchasing power goes down. That's got to represent value. Then you get into funny money like hyperinflation. So we also have that with education qualifications. Printing more degrees, it actually just doesn't make us more educated. It's got to represent some value, some achievement. There is that quantitative easing or printing more money that George Osborne tried when he was Chancellor Exchequer after 2010, a conservative. So more welfare spending by more people who are claiming to be disabled, by more people who are just shysters, who are just shirkers, feckless people. So the gross domestic product isn't growing fast enough to dilute the debt. So the Office of Budget Responsibility said that stabilizing the debt is very difficult because economic growth is not fast. Then the government has to have these forecasts, but they often underestimate how much they need to borrow. Now, Jeremy Hunt was Chancellor Exchequer under the last Conservative government for the last year or so, and he said you have to give yourself sort of headroom of about £30 billion per annum. Remember, the United Kingdom public spending is something like £1.5 trillion per annum. So that's quite a small percentage of it. Is it going to be this one? Because what if you need to spend more than you anticipated? If you need to spend less, that's great. You could pay off some of the national debt, or things like that. The trouble is, almost every department will ask for more money every single year. And if they don't spend the whole budget, often their budget will be cut, which penalizes those who are responsible and don't spend unnecessarily. So, well, let's spend everything, even if we don't really need to, so our budget won't be cut. We can maybe even ask for more. So there are all these perverse incentives. So that's the trouble, is people want excellent public services, but they don't want to pay for them. They want tax cuts, but they want more spending. Almost everyone wants more spending on something, and often if you want excellent public services, this is going to cost you. You want superb healthcare or education or more police or a better armed military or things like that, or higher welfare payments or more pensions, so to keep the pension age down is going to cost a lot, or transition to renewable energy. So it's just the crisis of entitlements, throwing them out like confetti without any thought about whether this is affordable. So, and goodness, I mean, I'm no economist, I'm sure it shows, but the very simple thing is you're going to have to increase the revenue and decrease spending. You could raise taxes in all sorts of ways. The thing is that the Labour government said they won't raise income tax, fixed public finances, just switch to sovereign gold. Well, that's a possibility, but has anyone successfully done that? You're not saying a gold standard for the currency, which the United Kingdom was on, was it through the 19th century, came off of the First World War, back into the 1920s, partly causing the slump off in the Great Depression. And the US had it for some time. They scrapped in the early 70s and said the United Kingdom did it, and nobody's talking about going back to the gold standard. The idea that until we know the gold standard, you could go there to a bank with a banknote and exchange an amount of gold, or go with gold and exchange for a banknote, and people had confidence in the system. It's all trust that this piece of paper, which in itself is paper and ink, is worthless, that represents value. You can exchange it for certain goods or services. And because when paper money was introduced in the 17th century, people didn't trust it. They wanted coins. They wouldn't accept it as face value. If it said, 10 shillings, I think it's really worth 6 shillings or something like that. Right. So the debt could be held in gold. And actually, the UK's got relatively low gold reserves. Gordon Brown, the genius who was Chancellor of Exchequer under Tony Blair, the longest serving Chancellor ever, 1997 to 2007, he announced how much gold he was going to sell in advance, thereby reducing the value of it, an extremely basic error, which shows just how he didn't understand very, very simple economic principles. And he was supposed to be Chancellor, supposed to be this magic chancellor. So yeah, the UK has had higher national debts, but that was coming out of wars. And this is the problem with democracy, is people wanting good things now and not willing to accept short-term pain for long-term gain, and politicians thinking only in 5-year cycles, the next electoral cycle, rather than we'll do things unpopular now and but we'll feel the benefit in the longer term. But if they do something irresponsible now to win the next election, by the time the solids hit the fan, that politician's going to be out of politics anyway, or dead in a few decades' time. So often the UK has been kicking these problems down the road and they get worse. Like, they've known since 2010 the House of Parliament need a massive renovation, which is going to cost billions. And they've delayed it because it's politically unacceptable. People saying, you're spending most of the money yourself, politicians. Well, it's not on us, it's on this building. We want the building here in a century. Yes, we do. So we're going to have to pay for that. So possibly move out the Commons to another building, and then they then renovate that bit and then move the commons came back in, renovate the lords, or they both move at the same time. That'd be the cheapest, fastest way to do it, and so on. But nobody will grasp the nettle, is willing to be unpopular because of demagoguery. So having to have a lower benefits payments, force people off benefits, get people to education earlier, more people out of education into full-time work, and being on benefits is no longer a career. Work or starve, it's that simple. Work or starve. Not many people are going to choose to starve. And then raise the retirement age. So it's going to have to go up gradually. The Danes are raising it. I would phase it up to 77 over a century. People current in their 60s can retire at 67 or whatever it is. People current in their 50s have to work one more year than they're currently forecast. People current in their 40s are going to have to work two more years than they were originally told. People current in their 30s are going to have to work three more years than they're originally told. And this is going to affect people who have not yet been conceived. So that is the way I would do it. Transition for this silvering population. We're more physically fit than ever before, able to work longer because we're usually not doing physically demanding jobs, normally doing desk jobs. But, you know, politicians don't have the courage to do it. And the silver vote is crucial. About 30% of those who actually vote in the United Kingdom are pensioners. A lot of them who are not pensioners are close to pension age. And of course, we know the gutter press will misrepresent this. You're going to have to work till 77, if I said that. No. People who are going to be born in about 30 years from now, they will have to work to 77, but misrepresented. Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. What are your solutions for the UK's national debt? It affects the Occident in general. Toodaloo.